Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
All right, we're back here. On the Investor Coaching Show, I am Paul Winkler. He is Jim Wood. So, you know, with a lot of things in life, you know, you make decisions on things and you want a do-over. You want a mulligan. Can I just do this thing over because it wasn't the greatest decision I've ever made? And a lot of times in life, you get that. But there are times, as Jim is dying to talk about, that you may not necessarily have a do-over. And you're talking about financial things. Like, what would those be? What are some of the things that you might talk about where you wish you could do it over, but you don't necessarily get another chance?
Well, I thought a good way to segue into this was most everybody is probably familiar with the Serenity Prayer.
Oh, yeah.
In the first few lines, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, mm-hmm. the courage to change the things I can, mm-hmm. and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, that brings decisions in retirement that typically are irreversible. Mm-hmm. That comes a time to where you have to make some really important decisions, and many of them can't be changed or are really tough to change.
That can be paralyzing. I'm going to make a decision, and I can't do it over. Yeah.
And you know, when retirement, of course, one of the first things people think about is Social Security.
Yep, sure.
Now, there are really just two limited chances. Once you make that decision, there are a couple small things you can do, mm-hmm. but essentially, most of those decisions are permanent.
Right.
Two potential chances to make a change is that in the first 12 months, you can cancel your benefits and repay anything you've received. And they just put it off, cancel sometime in the future.
And that used to be, you could literally up to age 70, you could go back. If you had claimed at age 62, you could actually, at age 70, pay back everything you'd been paid over the last 8 years and then start your benefit at a higher level at age 70. And that was fine. No more. They got rid of that one.
Right.
Yeah.
They've kind of squeezed a lot of the things that you used to be able to do. There used to be some other neat
filing
strategies
suspend,
you can
do, sure,
and all that. But they, you know, trying to keep Social Security solvent. So second, one of the things you can do is suspend benefits once you reach your full Social Security retirement age, mm-hmm. and then you collect the delayed credits when you turn it on again at age 70 or wherever it is past that date that you suspended it.
Yeah, so that is something I have almost never seen. Well, I've had a few people do it. I've had a few clients do it, but I just don't think a lot of advisors are familiar with that because a lot of times the education programs to become a financial advisor don't include a tremendous amount of really in-depth education on Social Security. And a lot of people I just find that aren't even familiar with that, but it can be handy.
I remember us talking about a few cases like that, but I think in general, you're right, is that it's almost never done.
Okay, so why would you do it? You know, I can think of, you know, a couple reasons that you might do it. Have you seen times, or I can just tell my stories?
Well, I think the one example, and especially with the paying it back in the first 12 months, is, okay, I'm going to retire, I'm going to turn on Social Security, and a couple months later, you get an offer you can't refuse to take a contract job or another job, something like that.
That's it. No, that's exactly what I was thinking of. It may be a situation where you tell the story about your dad, when retires and goes, I can't do this.
Yeah.
This is boring.
Right. He retired and got his pension and then within 6 months was driving him and his wife nuts, trying to come up with hobbies and things to do. And so he went back and took another job that he held for another 20 years.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's definitely, Social Security is one of those things that if you make that decision, I tell people, you know, you got to watch it. You got to watch this particular thing because there are a lot of financial there are companies that sell these workshops for financial people to put on, and a lot of times they're used as a way to get people in and teach about Social Security and then sell them things that they really wish that they hadn't bought after they get that, you know.
Sometimes that's another irreversible decision.
Yeah, we'll probably get to that, right?
Sure, okay. So the next one, mm-hmm. The idea of a pension. Mm-hmm. Right? There's still a lot of people out there, particularly in a lot of government jobs, mm-hmm. things like that, to where you get a pension. So part of your work benefits is based on how long you work for the company, how much money you make, that type of stuff. You'll get the choice. Well, sometimes that's the only choice you get is a monthly payment. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you do have a lump sum option, meaning you can take a bunch of cash as opposed to that monthly payment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there certainly can be a lot that goes into that decision.
Yeah. And one thing that we didn't mention with Social Security, I think we probably should mention, is that why delay it? And the reason is for the credits. When you look at Social Security, the way it's actually designed, for every year you pull it before your full retirement age, or every month you pull it before your full retirement age, let me use that number, it's 0.5% for every month you pull it early. So you think about it, you're getting 0.5% more if you wait. Now it's 5% per year the first couple of years. Let's say if your retirement age is 67, your full first 3 years that you pull it early, if you pull it exactly 3 years before your retirement date, your full retirement date, age 67, if you're born 1960 or later, you will take a 20% penalty for life. If you do it 4 years early, you got the 20% plus another 5%. It's 25% penalty. If you do it full 5 years early, you got a 30% penalty, the 20% plus 5 and another 5. And then you get delayed credits if you wait. So that is something. And the similar thing with pensions. Why would somebody ever put off a pension? Well, you could get, possibly, depending on how the pension works, and it's not as cut and dried as Social Security, but you could get a much higher benefit for life by waiting. And that's one thing. Or you may look at it, and the thing that Jim is talking about is say, hey, I'm going to forego the payment for life because that's like an annuity, and I don't like the idea that the money's gone when I'm gone. And some people may actually go and use a lump sum benefit and provide their own pension. So that's really what he's talking about right there.
Yeah, you can certainly take that money, and someday if you decide later you want an annuity, there's always the private market mm-hmm. that you can go out and purchase those, and maybe keep some of the cash, use some mm-hmm. of that. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different options. Just a really good careful analysis. Does the pension that you might be giving up, does it have a cost of living adjustment? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, most government and ones, things like that do. Most private ones don't.
And it may be capped. You got to look at that. Is the cost of living increase capped? So do I have some inflation issues? You know, so this is why it's really good to do a deep dive into this to really know whether, because I've seen some pensions that are really good. And I'm like, I'd be hard pressed to do anything with a lump sum on that particular pension based on the way it's actually
designed. Yeah, absolutely.
Designed.
I totally agree, especially when they have cost of living adjustment, because that to me is the most important piece. Because if they
helpful.
Don't, and you're getting, you know, maybe great, you're getting $1,500 a month, and then 20 years later, you're getting $1,500 a month that's buying, you know, a third of what mm-hmm. it was buying when you first started getting mm-hmm, that check. Mm-hmm.
And people don't think about how big of a deal inflation has been. I mean, you go back to the year 2000, and we're not quite double the cost of living, but it's not far off right now from the year 2000 till now, which is shocking to people. You think about that. 2000 wasn't that long ago, really.
Yeah, and probably the inflation rate that along that way calculated is probably below its historical average. Even though we've had high mm-hmm, for a couple mm-hmm. of years, we had so many
true.
Years of almost
true.
Nothing.
That's so true.
And that's
yeah.
not likely to happen in the future. Don't know.
Right,
but
right.
it's not likely.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so let's do this. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to the Investor Coaching Show. We're talking about things that maybe you're making a decision, or you have a decision coming up, or you've made a decision and you're thinking, man, I want to do this over. There are some areas you can do that, and there are some areas that you can't do that. Thanks for tuning in to the Investor Coaching Podcast. Now, you may be one of these people that's been listening and realizing, wow, investing, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and financial planning, tax laws constantly changing, and recognizing that maybe you might need some help in this area, but you don't want just anybody to help you out. So we have 10 offices in the Middle Tennessee area, and everything we do is fee only. We align our interests with your interests. So you can get an initial 15-minute phone call with any one of our offices just by going to paulwinkler.com/call. That's it. Every one of the offices is run by somebody with 20-plus years experience. They're all degree planners. They all have academic backgrounds in investing, and you can get the help that you need. So if you want to set up a complimentary phone consultation, just go to paulwinkler.com/call. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, we're back here on the Investor Coaching Show. Paul Winkler, along with Jim Wood, talking money and investing. Okay, so what we're talking about right now, we've talked about a couple different things that if you start something, you make a decision, sometimes you can't reverse it when it comes to financial decisions. Limited with Social Security, you have a couple things that we talked about. And if you miss any parts of this and you want to hear about it, you'd go back and check out the podcast, paulwinkler.com. The other thing we talked about is pensions. Sometimes you make decisions regarding pensions and you can't reverse those things. Now, that is more written in stone when you make those decisions. Then we talked a little bit about we got something coming up.
Yeah.
A couple of things.
A
couple other things coming. I'm trying to think, did we talk about anything else? No, I think that was it so far.
Right. And just related to pensions is the idea of just buying a single premium immediate annuity, kind of same type of decision, only you're not dealing with your company, but you have a lump sum and thinking, well, should I buy this thing, this insurance contract that's going to pay me a monthly payment as long as I live? And what are the benefits? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot, not something we recommend a lot, but recommend sometimes.
There are limited instances. Some people think that I always hate annuities. I like them when they're used for their intended purpose, but they are used as an accumulation vehicle so many times. And one of the things that I saw this week that I was like, whoa, JR had sent this article over, and I'm going to be eternally thankful to JR for this article because it had a line in it that I've been wanting somebody with some gravitas to actually say. And the line in it was the Council of Economic Advisors. Now, you've heard this from me, people, many times, and you're probably sick of me hearing me say this kind of thing. But when it comes from the Council of Economic Advisors, maybe we ought to pay attention. They estimate that Americans lose up to $5 billion, with a B, $5 billion a year due to conflicts of interest relative to one insurance product, an index annuity. And that, to me, is you ought to wake up. I've had so many people that I've worked with where, and I can't do anything about it. Once you've rung that bell sometimes, the back-end surrender penalties are so bad.
Well, right, that's back to the irreversible decision
that
we're talking about. That's absolutely one place I was going to go, is that those surrender charges, once you sign that contract and you fund it, that's an irreversible decision as far as if you're going to get your money back out in the first, you know, significant number, 7, 10, 11, whatever years, then you're going to pay a high cost for that.
And many, 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 many years ago, I actually had a situation, actually ran into the lady. She came in the office, hadn't seen her in a long, long time. She came in and she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so good to see you. And I was like, yeah, so happy to see her too. I will never forget, and we both talked about this, how she had been sold an insurance product many, many years ago. And it was just flat inappropriate. It was flat inappropriate. And I got the insurance department, they literally were able to reverse it and get the insurance company to give her her money back. This part of the story I had not heard, Jim. And the part of the story I had not heard was that the agent actually apologized and said, yeah, that was inappropriate.
Wow. Yeah.
I had not heard that part of the story. But, you know, since then, I've never had that kind of luck. And I've actually been told, oh, that's unfortunate that we did that before. That's literally from the regulator's mouth. It's unfortunate that we did that. And I was like, unfortunate that you helped somebody? And he said, yeah, she had the contract. She could have read the fine print. And I was like, who on earth does that?
Yeah.
Ugh, sick feeling in my stomach. But anyway. What else can't you reverse?
Well, how about talking about Medicare? There are certain decisions around Medicare that maybe sometimes are reversible, but can be very, very difficult.
So Medicare, go ahead.
So if you opt for Medicare Advantage rather than traditional, you can later potentially swap it in traditional Medicare, but the problem is you may have to undergo medical underwriting, which can be really problematic for some people.
And you see so many commercials, especially around the end of the year, talking about how great Medicare Advantage programs are. They're going to, you know, you've got the dental coverage, you got the optometry, you can go to your eye doctor, you can go to a gym, you got the silver sneakers, and you got all that kind of stuff that goes along with that.
And it sounds really great, but a lot of people come to the conclusion that they don't like the restrictions with the Medicare Advantage plan. And so often they're heavily pushed by the financial people that sell the products, and they have a might have a little conflict of interest regarding how they're going to get paid if you buy what they're selling with regards to that. And then people find out maybe it's not as great as I thought it was going to be. Then they try to go back and they can't go back. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, they're likely a good decision for some people, but they are definitely pushed in terms of the advertising. It's always, you know, an age-appropriate celebrity that people have a good feeling about that's mm-hmm. telling them to look into this stuff and everything. But yeah, if the agent potentially gets paid more by selling Medicare Advantage plans, well, then that's their incentive, and it's likely that there are going to be some, mm-hmm. not all of them, but some that are going to lean towards those payments, not because it's good for the client, because it's good for them.
All right, exactly. So that is one of the things, one of my pet peeves is that as well. I had actually had a personal situation, personal family member, and was told a lot of things about the Advantage plan that just weren't true, and they asked me, thankfully. And I said, and then went and did some research. She did the research, a significant amount of it. And she was livid. She was livid about it when she found out that she had been told a lot of things that weren't true. So be very, very careful about that decision.
Yeah, and again, they might be the right plan. They might be the right plan for you, but you really have to know. Because if your circle of doctors, if your benefits and all that, it works out with it, it might potentially
be travel,
good.
You might find that you end up looking at, you know, you become unhealthy later on, and you might have a lot of co-payments, a lot of payments that come out of your pocket that you didn't think about that were involved with that. So be very, very careful, yes.
So another one.
And by the way, regarding that, let me just say really quickly, I actually had an expert on from the state of Tennessee. They don't have a dog in the fight. If you want to go to my website, if this is something that you're thinking about, you can go to paulwinkler.com and you can listen to that interview with the person from the state of Tennessee. So it's a good, unbiased way of getting more information about Medicare. paulwinkler.com, you go to the webinars and that's where that is. Okay.
Yeah, that was really good. This one, I'm kind of questioned this being on here, but it's in the article, so I'll bring it up.
All right.
And I can see where he's coming from. I'm just not sure it fits in irreversible, but reverse mortgages. So, you know, it's not really something that's necessarily irreversible, except for if you set it up, there tend to be significant costs.
That is the part that's irreversible. You know, if you look at how they're set up with the closing costs on them, you pay those closing costs. Now, as far as it being irreversible, you can go and pay those things off. A lot of people have the misconception that you've basically given your house to the bank or whatever. And I say, no, you can actually make payments on reverse mortgages just like you would a regular mortgage. So it isn't what a lot of people think. So that's probably what they're talking about right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what I like about them, of course, is just the idea that you can put this in place. Yes, it's significant cost, but then you have that line of credit that can't be yanked from you like the banks did with HELOCs mm-hmm. during the mm-hmm. home equity lines of credit during, 2008, the financial crash. Because people thought they had some credit, and then all of a sudden, no, you don't.
Yeah, it's a tool. I just like to put it out there as a tool, right. And sometimes it makes a tremendous amount of sense. And one of the things that you look at reverse mortgages, they're required to have you go through an education from a third party that doesn't have a dog in the fight. And that's one of the good things is it's set up so you really have to understand what you're doing. So it's not necessarily a bad tool, but and that's another one of those things. I have actually videos on the website about. And if you want to know.
How about that?
How do you like that? We teach on everything because I think that the more educated you are, the less likely you are to be taken advantage of. I think it's a big deal.
And of course, and to me, coming to the biggest one, and this kind of wraps up everything, ooh, is the actual idea of retiring itself. When are you going to retire? When are you going to pull that trigger? And for so many people, that can be, it is a huge decision, but can also be irreversible. Just think if you have that job you've had for 30 years and you're integral to the company, but you say, okay, I'm leaving. Well, they got to fill that position after you're gone. And it's not likely that a lot of people can call them up and say, you know what? I think I changed my mind. I think I'd like to come back.
That's a really good point. Yeah, yeah, you may be replaced by the time you decide that you can come back. So that's a good one.
Yeah, and you give up, you know, that income. And a lot of times that's the transition as retirement anyway. People don't see it necessarily as, I don't want to do anything. I just don't want to do this. And you know, but if you walk away from that, then all of a sudden, well, you know, I kind of needed that health insurance that I had, or, you know, I had this benefit or whatever they were, or I just miss seeing the gang or whatever that is, might not be able to go back and do that. And then all the other decisions that are wrapped up into that that we've talked about, Social Security, pensions, things like that, and they all stem from that decision on when am I going to retire and pulling that trigger. And that's why people agonize over it. And so really the more information you can get along those lines in terms of what's my income look like, when's the best time to take Social Security, how should I take a pension, what are, you know, do I have enough money? That's always such a key, is right, is can I actually do this?
And one of the things that we talk about quite a bit with clients that are thinking about retiring is the concept of what am I retiring to? What am I going to? Because you don't want to retire to nothing. I've had people say, I'm retiring to golf. And then after a couple months of that, they're going, oh my gosh, I am so bored. I'm ready to...
Not my grandpa.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, there may be a few, but I'm telling you, most people, they get really tired of the routine when it changes to something like that, and they do get bored. So,
no, yeah, I absolutely get what you're saying.
Think about what you're retiring to.
I think about my grandfather. It just, he was that, you know, first guy on the course every morning on all the public courses. And he did it like 3 days a week, just as, in his 80s. Before that, he did it every day. And he was just one of those guys that was, you know,
he'd rare breed.
Yeah, he'd done that in his gardening and he was happy. But the whole point there is it's something different to everybody. And I have so many people who just say, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I have to do something.
Exactly.
Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments are appropriate for you, please consult with a financial advisor. Paul Winkler, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation.